I am fascinated, intrigued, and honored by
you may have done what they said you did, but
they are magnificent, marvelous.
You need to know that you're okay just the way you are.
You
succeeded in you as a child.
What you've been through matters.
This podcast is designed for you.
It's
love on a mission
hope.
In a world where human experience is lacking.
My name is Ginger Wilk, and we're here to talk about that which matters.
Welcome to That Which Matters. We're excited today to be able to have a part two of an interview with John Mealy, the guest who spoke about recovery in the last episode. And to reiterate, he is a good friend of mine who I've known for many, many years, who has helped me professionally and personally with the passion that he has. And he does a lot of work in the area of recovery and helping people. But he also has done a lot of work in the area of mentoring. And if you recall, there was an episode in season one called I Took the Rats Home, and it was about mentoring, the concepts of what it really is. I spoke about how mentoring can be very organic, and it doesn't have to be something that's scripted. It can be something that happens through just a relationship that's formed. But John has had some experience with not only working in mentoring programs with young children, but also with working with young men who have been incarcerated and who are justice impacted. And so I just want to be able to chat today about this. I know you're going to be exhilarated through the conversation that we have. So thank you so much for joining us again, John, in this episode.
Well, thank you, Ginger. I'm very happy to be here. And I'm happy to talk about something that's so dear to my heart. I loved my experience mentoring, and it, you know, it started because I wanted to give back. I wanted to make a difference. And I wanted to do it to thank God for helping me, for straightening my life out. And I thought that I heard once that gratitude is an action emotion, and so I started it there, and I did do it, the word you were struggling with, like through a program, and it was
right.
Big Brothers and Big Sisters in Bridgeport.
Right.
And it was 1996 or so when I applied, and I was pretty like, can I really do this? I had enough difficulty mentoring my own life, but I wanted to truly thank God for the opportunity to be able to have the opportunity. So I applied, and through the process, I sat down. They called me and said, we have a little brother for you. And I went, and it turns out they said, you know, we felt because of the interview we had with you that you would be okay with this. We have two little brothers that are biological brothers, and
wow.
The mother doesn't want them to go with separate big brothers. So I said, yeah, you know, okay. They were 12 and 10. Darnell was 12, and Derek was 10. They grew up in New Haven, and their mom was a wonderful woman that was bringing up these two young men practically in a courtyard where drugs and all kinds of things would take place after 2-3 in the morning. And the mom was keeping them on point about trying to make their life better and being good citizens. And they were wonderful young men.
How did they receive you? Did they receive you well, or did it take a while for them to establish
trust?
No, it
took a while on both sides, I believe. Hmm. But they were just smiles that you could sell for $1 million. They were nice, respectful young men, and boy, they helped me grow as much as hopefully I helped them grow. So that's really what started it. I got involved with Big Brothers and Big Sisters. I learned their history. I learned you know, why and what it results in, and boy, to make a long story short, with Darnell and Derek, I ended up going to their graduations, to their baptism, baby showers, to their one of them. I went to a wedding, and they're still in contact with me,
oh,
which is crazy.
Oh my goodness! After all these years,
yeah, and. So I had some learning experiences. I remember once with Darnell, the older young man. We had a disagreement on what to watch on TV, and he got so mad at me and Derek, I turned my head, and he's gone. And he's walking the streets of New Haven and being mad. And I'm like, oh, my God. So, yeah, so we learned together. And that brought me to becoming a board member of Big Brothers and Big Sisters, and I was introduced to a whole lot of things about mentoring. And the wonderful things that a relationship that, you know, you don't have to sacrifice hardly anything. I learned so much. So at the beginning, I made a commitment, and I wanted to be with them from Friday, you know, all day Saturday, go back and be all day Sunday. And then some things happened in my life that I couldn't do that, and I got concerned. And I said to them, and I'll just share this one story. I brought them together with me one day, and I said, you know, I'm really sorry, but I my mom and dad were in a bad car accident. They were rehabilitating, and I was helping there, and I couldn't do everything else and do the time I wanted to do. And I said to them, so I'm going to have to take a break. I hope you're okay. And they looked at me. They were shocked. And this was, you know, several months into our relationship. It was going great. And I just didn't want to not give them what I wanted to.
Right.
And I dropped them off, and I went home, and they left me a message on my machine, practically crying that they didn't care if they spent 5 minutes with me. They just wanted me in their life. And it blew me away.
Oh, my goodness.
And it, you know, I looked to the sky, and I thank God. And I what I learned from that is that what I did was I changed some things. I would go on a Monday night and read with them for a little bit on their schoolwork. I would go on a Friday night, take them out for an ice cream cone. So I didn't have to commit to a whole weekend.
It could be an hour here or there.
And a phone call.
Yeah.
And that little part. And they were so grateful for me. And I would shake my hand and go, I'm not doing that much.
Right.
But just that. So that presence and that relationship. Hear me. If you have an opportunity to do that, you just don't know what it does for your heart.
It's amazing that they had the ability to verbalize that.
Yeah.
Because there's so many kids that I bet they would feel that, but they may not have the courage to speak that out.
Yep.
And that could have been the end of the relationship right there.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I got a job at Family Reentry. And how I got that job was I became a mentor to a young man in prison, just me and the young man. It was part of the mentoring program at Family Reentry. And, of course, I got involved with him, and then I got involved with the person running the program in the prison. I did more and more, and eventually he left, and I started running that whole program. And I continued to have a mentoring program, a transitions mentoring program. And we were committed to help young men see a different way, a different perspective, to have a plan, to have resources, to and really what it came down to be there and just offer a young man an opportunity to succeed.
Yeah.
And I realized that all I'm bringing is the exact same thing that people in my life when I was 8 and 10 brought me. They brought me an opportunity. Unfortunately, some people never have that. So that simple act of giving an opportunity, we all have goodness in our hearts. And sometimes we don't know how to direct it and use it. So an opportunity and helped with that opportunity. And I've been, I've witnessed young men, 14, 15, 17, incarcerated and go through a process, accept the help that our program brought, and got, and I still have a dozen young men in my life, and three or four of them own their own business. I mean, you just can't believe.
Tell us one of the success stories. I know there's tons of them, but one person in particular that comes to mind.
Okay, so a young man, Jaquam, he moved eventually to Atlanta. He always told me he was in prison at 15, spent 9 years, got out, and he always told me in prison that don't want to work for someone. I want to be my own boss. So he started the delivery service just with his car, moved to Atlanta, Well, actually, he worked here for a year. One of the mentors got him a job the first year, and he moved to Atlanta, and eventually he bought a cab for 18-wheelers, got his license with it. Now he has two men working for him, just had a baby.
Wow.
He's been out probably, going on 10 years, and he has his own trucking business, delivery business in Atlanta. And I just talked with him and had lunch with him 2 months ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Because his mom still lives in Connecticut. So there's a young man 16 years old, he was in jail.
Wow.
And another young man, he did my landscaping because he opened a landscaping business.
Mm.
And I hired him, and I had to fight him to take money. But and he has now that landscaping business in Manchester, Connecticut. Ricky is his name, and it's changed to a building company. And he hires his brother, his cousin, and they have a business.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it's a beautiful thing.
And were they receptive to the mentoring program and the program that you offered initially? Or did you kind of have to encourage them to be a part of it? Like, was it a little rough?
No, that was one of the things I learned. I didn't want to make it mandatory. I didn't want to make COs or counselors order them to. I opened it up. I gave information. I would do little introductions in front of groups of the kids in prison and whoever wanted to come. And I tried to give them what I thought would be helpful, and of course it didn't work all the time, but I stayed true to the mission.
Yeah.
And that was just being, I think one of the things that God's given me is I've always respected people.
Yeah.
And I think they know that. And I don't care if you're 10 years old and you're green, blue, and pink, or you're 40 years old and gray, yellow, and something else. It's just, it's us meeting a person where they are, no matter where they are. Because at one point in my life, I was all of those places.
Right.
I think we all are.
Right.
We grow and change to different places through our experience and our faith and our practice. And you know, caring about other people, what else is there?
Yeah.
You know, I want to tell you a cute little story. The first time I was asked to go to a big affair for Big Brothers and Big Sisters with Darnell and Derek.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me to go and speak in front of a bunch of people with the two. I was Big Brother of the Year, or they were Little Brothers of the Year. And I wasn't comfortable, and you know, but I wanted to do it for them and for the program.
Right.
And I went in front of the crowd, and I practiced a two-sentence thing. And I totally went blank.
Oh.
And I'm standing with my arms around each young man, and I don't have a word in my mind.
Wow.
I put my head down, and I went, please, God, help me to think and do and say the right thing. And all of a sudden, a statement came that I read when I first got involved with Big Brothers, and it said, when you go home to God, people will not remember what kind of house you lived in, what kind of car you drove, how much money you had in a bank. What they'll remember is that you made a difference in another young person's life.
Wow.
And that's what I quoted. And so then after it was ended, everybody was so moved by that because they thought when I put my head down, I was crying.
You were crying,
yeah.
Right?
But I was totally blank. So even when I messed it up, God took care of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll never forget that. And Darnell and Derek laughed. They knew I went blank.
And it was good for them to see you vulnerable,
there
too,
you go.
Right?
So
That's another part of mentoring, is that you're not trying to pretend like you have all the answers, right?
Are you kidding? The best part of mentoring is when I make a mistake and we come together and fix it.
Yeah.
And try to make it better. And hopefully not make the same mistake again, but can't promise you.
Yeah, no, yeah. Exactly.
No, that's all that.
So what do you think makes a good mentor? Or who are the mentors that you, not people, but the types of mentors that might not be cut out for the work because of maybe their expectations? Like,
well, their expectations is not a good thing, but I've been asked that question so many times, and I have a really simple answer.
Okay.
It may not answer your question as you put it, but when someone said, you know, what kind of training, what does it mean? How can I be a good mentor? And it's simple to me. If you have a kind heart and you could listen, you're the best mentor in the world.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. And I found it to be absolutely true.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, is there any training? Of course there's ways to professionally train someone, but really it's just about being a good person and caring about the person in front of you, and both knowing that we both have to learn and experience this to get to there.
Yeah.
You know,
so I've been surprised over the years with some of the stuff that I've done with setting up mentors. The ones that have held in there and have just stayed with the longevity of the relationship, and the ones that I thought were going to, you know, remain, but then, you know, they kind of have to, you know, they have personal issues that come up, or maybe they're disappointed by what they see, because, you know, with working with people in the prison, they're not always going to be, you know, warm and fuzzy in the way that they respond. You know, they're testing people that are coming in too, to see if you like,
absolutely,
are you going to keep coming? Are you going to be consistent? You know, or do you think you're better than me or whatever? But I told in one of the episodes how there was one particular girl who I was just asking her opinion about her mentor, and she said that as long as she lives, she'll never forget the fact that a perfect stranger came into the prison week after week after week to meet with her, who she had never met before.
That's right.
Like, just, it wasn't even anything that her mentor said or did. It was the fact
just
that she
that
kept
fact.
Coming. She just kept coming, and she was dedicated. And I remember the mentor saying to me, as long as she's incarcerated, I will be there.
There you go.
So, yeah. So,
well, I learned that a long time ago. It's very important. You make a commitment like that.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't, after 4 weeks, after 6 months, you can't just get up and leave. Because that is the worst experience for probably both of you, but more so for your mentee.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a wonderful opportunity to make a difference in another human being's life. And I mean, and honestly, it sounds overwhelming. How can I share my life with a stranger? How do I develop a relationship? And that's exactly what it is. It's like developing a relationship as you did as a 14, as a 20-year-old with a new person at work, and you develop a relationship. And you know, sometimes I guess there are problems where, you know, I just don't like him. He doesn't like me.
Yeah.
You know, now what do? You talk about it.
Yeah.
And if it really comes to a place where it won't work for either of you, then you have to come to a resolve. And there is a way to go beyond that.
Right.
It's better to talk about it and maybe change it, because that it would be more hurtful if you didn't.
Yeah, because then people can have their own narrative in their heads about what might have happened. You know, I'm thinking about your retirement party, which, you know, God knows you probably have 10 more of those in your life, because you're never really retiring from anything, maybe officially, but not from all the great work you do. But all of the young men that came, and some that just kind of wrote in, you know, wrote things, but declared all of the impact that you had upon their lives. And I remember when I got a chance to speak, that what came to mind is that it wasn't about, you know, these being clients or mentees, but they really have been sons, you know, that, you know. And I don't know, you know, I know you have a child through your marriage. I don't know if you've been a biological father at all. That's something we haven't talked about.
Haven't.
You haven't, but to be, you truly are a father of many, you know, through those that you have touched, because you can just see it. You can see the difference between somebody that's around a person that they like and that have helped them professionally, and somebody who has really parented and fathered them.
Thank you.
And that's what you saw, you know, in their faces. And so, you know, I know that if we had the privilege of having each one of them come and share today about how you've impacted their lives, we would go through season 3 and 4 probably and being able to account for that. But, you know, I guess it just sounds to me like what you're talking about is just pure love at the base of it all. It's just loving people.
So I want to express what I was quoted just recently from a good friend who died of brain cancer. And he knew he was going to die. He had a date on the calendar, and he went through it with grace that you just can't even understand. I couldn't. And I just hope and pray that I could be like that if I was in that circumstance. But I asked him a very interesting question. I would pick him up, and we would do things. And I said, Brian, what have you learned, the number one thing you've learned through this? And he looked at me, and he said, love everyone all the time.
Ugh.
I mean, come on.
Wow.
You can't make that up. That's real. And it's so nice to know that we're there. We're
yes.
doing that.
Yes.
As sometimes as much as it's difficult, it really is the only way to go.
Yeah.
And you know, no regrets, no I'm sorry's, just, you know, thank you.
Yeah.
Just thank you.
I'll
never forget that.
To know
and
that
he
you've
struggled.
Loved purely, right?
I'm
yeah.
sorry?
To know that you've loved purely, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. I mean, he set up his all arrangements, his talk, what to say, the song, everything. Mm. It was amazing. And the first thing he would say when I would go and pick him up, how are you doing, John?
Wow.
What? Mm. And I've experienced it probably a half dozen times in my life where the men the and women, they're so... so powerful.
Yeah.
You know, because they have a faith that is special.
Well, it sounds to me like somebody, you know, at the end of their lives, whenever that's going to be for any of us, but at the end of their lives, if you've served and served and served, you know you're leaving behind a legacy. You know, you don't really or shouldn't really leave with any regrets because mm-hmm. if your life has been this, you know, beacon of light to people, you know, yeah. if you've extended your arms, I mean, sure, maybe you didn't meet a certain financial goal or maybe that you didn't travel to every country, but if you lived your life loving people.
It's all irrelevant unless you have that.
Yeah.
And I tell you, Ginger, when you talk about that retirement party, when people were mentioning that word, it blew me away.
Mm.
But in reflection, I thank God that he gave me that opportunity to, you know, I left a little bit of a legacy in family reentry. And it's really God's grace that did it, believe me, if
yeah.
you only knew.
Yeah.
And the best part about that, I think, what I've learned, and I'm getting older now, I had no intention of doing anything but helping someone one day at 2:00 p.m. and holding him and helping him and guiding him and supporting him. I didn't do it for any other thing but that.
Yeah. And that was one of the things I picked up too. Isn't even about this topic, but when you think about a success pattern, right? I mean, you went from being a volunteer mentor to being a board member.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know it wasn't overnight, but if you talk about people can get up and give all sorts of principles of success, the truth is that you just went in with an open heart to want to love and you just stuck with it.
Yep.
You know, you just kept showing up. I think you said that. You just kept showing up. And that's where God opens up these opportunities.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of people are always looking for these enormous things. Like, this is going to be the day that I'm just going to go from the bottom all the way up.
Yep.
But the things that I've seen over the years, as people have climbed and God has blessed them, it's just been this natural progression of doors opening in the areas where they're serving, you know? And to see that and then to see yourself, you know, going from being a mentor in the prison to running the whole program, you know, to having such favor, winning an award with the Department of Corrections, you know, I remember, see, all of these things and all of these, and most of all the people, you know, the people that...
You were suspended once.
Yeah, oh, do we talk about that? That's where I was able to be there to help you a little bit, just to write a little letter. But we just, all we can say without disclosing too much is you were suspended because you were doing something to help someone.
Yeah.
That's why. It wasn't because you were trying to be rebellious. It's because you cared more about helping somebody who needed help, you know, so.
And Ginger warned me.
I did. Well, I'm more of the rule follower among us, but, you know. But yeah, no, it's been a beautiful thing to watch the legacy that you are leaving and continue to leave. And I'm excited about the work that you're doing that's opening up again in the schools. Yes. Because the schools, you know, I talk to a lot of teachers. Teachers are very discouraged right now because there's a lot of behavioral issues in the schools. There's just a lot of post-COVID, you know, kind of difficulties. You know, the world that we're living in is definitely in a dark time at times. And so to be able to have programs and people that are coming in and targeting, being able to just see right through all that other stuff and look in the eyes of that loneliness, or look in the eyes of somebody who's just looking for self-esteem, you know, boosts or whatever it might be. And certainly somebody that could be saved from a long life of struggling with addiction or alcoholism.
Right.
So, so just tell us a little bit more about what you're doing in the schools before we close out, what you're excited about.
What I've been doing in the schools for quite a while is I bring young people in recovery to speak to primarily health classes. So over the years, it's a commitment of my own. I don't represent anything, but I've got to know teachers. They got to experience what I do, and the word spread. And I've gone to middle schools, high schools, and colleges all over the state. And I bring a message of what is substance abuse, the physical and mental obsession part, the hereditary part. I let a young person who's, you know, sometimes 19, 17, 22, sharing with these kids that are, you know, young age, telling them what happened to them, why they picked up a drink, why they didn't think it was going to be a problem, how it ended up, and more importantly, they share how they asked for help, and there is help. And so I've been doing that for quite a while.
And they probably receive a lot better from their peers.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
I do very little. I set up the people. I bring them or they meet me there. I deal with the schools. And I've gotten really good response. Once in a while, it kind of ends in a school because the teacher leaves or retires. And I don't solicit. If they contact me, I'm happy to do it. But it's been this month I have 5 schools I'm going to.
Wow.
Sometimes the 7th and 8th graders, I just talk with them alone. I talk about choices and to understand, you know, next year, 8th graders, you're going to high school. And you're going to be asked.
Yeah.
And you're going to feel lonely and afraid. And so, if I go here and I have this bear with these 3 guys, then I'm going to be accepted. Well, there's other ways to be accepted. There's other bridges.
Yeah.
It's not just that. Even though alcohol is a shortcut, but it takes away so much of your emotional growth.
Yeah, and it's such a beautiful thing to see the teenagers reaching out to the younger, you know, peers, because that's a form of mentoring, right?
Absolutely.
We're talking about recovery, we're talking about mentoring, and it all works together.
Yep.
For them to be able to influence, and, you know, I know I'm so grateful for times in my life when I was, you know, just starting high school, when some of the older kids had the courage and the security to be able to reach out to a freshman or an 8th grader and help to bring them along.
Right.
And that's a selfless act because
a lot
of teenagers are trying to find their own way, right? But to be able to do that at that age is powerful. But, well, I just want to thank you so much for everything that you have brought today and over the years. And I am so grateful for you. And I know that there are many, many, many people both on the earth and in heaven that that have great fruit in their lives because of what you have impacted.
You're so nice. And you're awesome, Ginger. You do everything that you said about me. You're living your life that way. So I'm so happy that you are. God bless you and keep it up.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to That Which Matters. This is the end of season 2. We will be taking a short break, and I will be coming back with season 3. And I will keep you posted. Check the social media and for the alerts that will be coming out to let you know about what season 3 will hold. Thank you so much.
In collaboration with IML Productions, this has been your host, Ginger Wilk, with That Which Matters. Thank you for listening.